While these guys are coming up, could you all grab a bill out of your pocket? Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to put it in the offering. If you don't have one, get one from a neighbor. And you neighbors, they'll give it back. Don't worry, okay? Now everyone take a bill out. I don't want to see too much caressing. We are in church. Everyone have a bill? Okay, why don't you just shout out a little? What, when you think about money, what are some of the emotions that it evokes? Anyone, when you look at this, how does it make you feel? What do you think? I'm sorry? You don't have enough, all right. Sorry? You can't give it away fast enough. They disappear quickly. I didn't hear that?
Dirty.
Dirty, yeah, that's true.
Spend it responsibly.
Does anyone feel anxious or guilty? Or ashamed? Okay, back there. I don't. Go ahead.
Yes.
Well, what we're going to do today, we're talking about generosity, and I have had the privilege of talking to these three people, Todd, Beckett on the end, Lori Austin, and Tom Austin, if you don't know them. Tom was on the board at one time. Lori is, and Todd are currently on the board. And I think it would be real easy for people to come to this message and think, oh, they're just going to tell us to give money to the church. But what I think one of the things we want to convey is even generosity is complex. Money is complex. And unless we really embrace the complexity of money, we're not really going to know how to use it wisely. So we're going to get started here. These guys have challenged me. They've inspired me, and I really hope that you're able to gain a lot from their thoughts today. And, just keep this money. Again, we're not asking you to give it. We just want you to really think about what does money invoke in us? What kind of feelings and concerns? So as we get started, let's have the first verse here from Timothy. It says, command those who are rich in the present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. So as we think about generosity, I know all three of these folks have developed convictions about being generous. They don't claim to be perfect in being generous, but maybe you could just share some of your thoughts on what it means to be a generous person, what it means to obey these verses that Paul was telling Timothy, command those who follow Jesus to be generous. And so what are your thoughts?
Listening to that verse afresh, I'm thinking, rich in this world, and as Matthew has set up, we really all, just living in this culture, and and certainly I feel like with my own upbringing, I am rich in this world, so I have to deal with that, And I think overall, with generosity, it's not just like money, but time or whatever. I just think about, has God been generous to me in my life, since I started on this spiritual path, maybe over 30 years ago. And I'd have to say, yeah, has God helped me through rough spots? Definitely. Out of that, I feel like it would be ungrateful of me to not be generous.
I'll just say that by nature, I'm a very selfish, greedy person, and I want to hold on to it for myself. So, and I know that there's a lot of people out there that should be here in my place when it comes to talking about generosity. It's very much a journey. I had a business degree back decades ago, and I like making money. I like spending money. I like the power of that money, you know. But I've dealt with it on all kinds of levels, and still am dealing with the, you know, the spiritual curve and growth of generosity. I still haven't arrived, but I can say that I've certainly grown. We've grown as a couple, but so that kind of want to start off almost by disqualifying myself for being up here talking about this when so many of you could be doing a better job and that you're more generous than I am. So it's a learning curve. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, the verse and what Lori just said actually reminds me of when I first became a Christian. I know playing the new Christian thing 8 years, 9 years into it is a little silly, but I still remember when I began to feel God's presence in the room, and it came with a sense, a very Western sense of obligation. It's like, he, I don't know, he's sort of sitting there next to me, holding my hand or putting his arm around my back, and I'm sitting there going to church, watching people do all these strange rituals and thinking, don't I owe somebody something for this? If this was a movie, I'd have to pay for a ticket, wouldn't I? And so then I made a bargain, I made a deal, and I said, okay, God, here's my deal. I will give you all the money in my pocket. Every time I come to church, I'll give you all the money in my pocket. And that deal was a good deal because I don't really carry much money. So, you know, just being honest there. And then it happened that I was at church one day and I had $3,500 in my pocket that I owed a contractor later that day. And this is the part of the story where good Todd would tell you that, you know, he found a way to make it happen and make ends meet. No, I broke the deal. I broke the deal with God. I paid my contractor and I felt guilty as heck. And then I made a new deal with God. And the new deal was, I'm going to give a set amount every week. Set it and forget it, God. I'm not going to play this up and down roller coaster. There's more to this journey there, but that's sort of where the giving began with me, is this, is guilt, release, forgiveness, guilt again, release, forgiveness.
I think, for one thing, I love the story. It's just great. Not everyone can pull it. Not everyone maybe as dramatically makes that type of deal with God, but I think sometimes we all err on that side. But I know as a couple, you guys have had to think about this area in a more disciplined way, and I think, Todd, that's what you're getting at, too, that it isn't just kind of a sporadic what's in my pocket, and by the way, we're not going to make, if you put that bill back in your pocket, we're not going to ask you to follow Todd's example and put it in the offering, but it led you to be more disciplined and focused. And how about you guys as a couple? What is that? How do you tackle that area in your marriage?
Well, we've been married like 26 years, and we had a little pre-engagement or pre-marriage counseling, and we kind of had that values discussion early on. And so we basically said that, you know, as part of that values, I mean, we were both believers at the time. And it was like, well, we really want to put God first with our finances. So whatever church community we were a part of, you know, since we've always tried to, you know, contribute off the top rather than leftovers. But then along with that, there's the another value that we adopted as a couple is one of simplicity, because we figured if we had this commitment, then we need to sacrifice some other things. So I don't know if you want to...
I would say that simplicity was a value by necessity. We didn't have a lot of money. I jokingly say Tom married me for my money. I had $2,500 in the bank when we got married, and he was $500 in debt. So that's how we started, honestly. It wasn't a doesn't like which horse property are we going to buy or which horse are we going to buy. Those options weren't on the table. So we've been blessed. I look back and say, I think we've been blessed in not having a lot of money starting out, because maybe we would have blown it. We probably would have wasted a lot of money looking back. So we kind of, in God's grace, he allowed us to grow into patterns that were healthier and more honoring towards him. But it's not an issue that we think about today. We made the issue once back here, and so we don't debate every week or every month or even every year. Are we going to give this week? Are we going to give this month? Are we going to give this year? We decided that once, and now we don't have to spend energy thinking about that. Now the amount changes from time to time, and that amount is flexible as far as, you know, on top of the... But we do the auto debit too, because we're kind of forgetful and spacey and I get distracted.
And you guys have all gone through periods of unemployment, so, right? All three of them?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, how do you deal with giving during a time like that?
Well, you have to be realistic. I mean, I don't think we're not really, you know, we're called to use discernment, and, you know, I really believe God, as a rule, cuts us a lot of slack, you know, and knows our situation. But when employed, you know, that's a different situation.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I probably have the most recent experience of that. I think it's really a personal decision. But for me, it was important to keep giving. For me, it was important to keep showing up in a much smaller way, you know, but to keep showing up with my generosity and to keep budgeting for it. And, you know, yeah, everything was lean and small, but it needed to still be there as a part of everything I was doing.
Well, why don't we move on to the next slide, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the issue, focus in a little more on giving. This is a passage from 2 Corinthians, and to put it in a little bit of context, Paul had been in Corinth, and apparently the Corinthians made a pledge to give some money, and now basically he's calling on them to fulfill that pledge. So, starts now. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So we urged Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. So I think obviously we can be generous in many contexts to people within the church and out of the church, but let's focus just a little bit on what your thinking is about being generous to this community.
I can tell you that being generous generosity is a form of consumption. Generosity is a giving a gift is a way of receiving praise or admiration. And so it too often We have a hard time, I have a hard time, I have a very easy time giving. It makes me feel big and important and powerful and rich. And it works very easily for me because I don't really know what to do with money. I don't like to buy things. You guys will see me here most Sundays with holes in my clothes because I don't like stuff. Stuff drives me crazy. But I like giving. I have a real hard time receiving. And it's hard for me. And it's like being able to love but not be loved.
Hey, you want my two time? It's a little hard for Todd, so we're gonna make you squirm here.
This is so off the cuff.
Yeah, it's way off the cuff. But Todd, why don't you explain a little about the offering baskets seem to be overflowing with $1 bills. I think you're responsible.
I have not given Cedar Ridge as much of a tithe as I wanted to recently because I was unemployed. And I wanted to make it material. So I went to the bank and I got out my tithe in $1 bills, which was very interesting. One of the things that one of the messages that I feel is important when you talk about giving is to never grow complacent, to always be pushing yourself, to finding a way to make it a little uncomfortable that for what's going on, or at least thinking about what you're doing. Anyway, so I went to the bank and I pulled out our tithe and stuffed it into my pants pockets. And when those ran out, I stuffed it into my back pockets, and it was the most uncomfortable feeling. You don't really usually walk around with pockets bulging with money in downtown D.C. unless you want to get in trouble. So I managed to make myself uncomfortable. Here's the part that's going to make you uncomfortable. That's my gift to the community. If you want to join it, please do so. But I'd also say if you don't have money to go to the farmer's market and buy something good, or an egg muffin, or whatever, take a few dollars on your way out. Because every time I give to the community, I'm giving to you. And I know there are people out there that don't have money for a meal, and grab it. Have fun. Life is short.
You know, you mentioned the word, I mean, you've said so many things we can comment on here, but giving here to Cedar Ridge, I know is really important to me as well. You're my family. Why wouldn't I give to my family? You mentioned that word tithe. I think, I don't know if everyone is familiar with that word. It technically means to give 10%. It comes from the Old Testament. I don't know that God is nearly as concerned about the 10% as he is the 90%. And I'm not sure that in the New Testament there's not really a command to give 10%. But Lori and Tom, how do you, you've talked some about first fruits and giving here to Cedar Ridge. What are your thoughts on that topic?
Well, as you can probably tell, we're kind of coming from some, a little bit, approaching this a little bit differently. So I really relish the freedom, and the spirit in which Todd is giving, and, and just how that comes out of a really abundant place. I think for us, coming up in more traditional church backgrounds, the idea of giving, and whether it's like reaching toward a tithe or, thinking about maybe other things that we can support outside of Cedar Ridge to the least of these, the question, I kind of lost my train of thought a little bit, but
Lori has.
Yeah, the giving. Just having one of those moments, but
it's his birthday,
I've always thought about it as giving to God first. I really believe in the community, but I also, I I just keep thinking about, you know, God's patience, God's graciousness toward me as an individual and toward Lori and me and our marriage and our family and our children. And I just feel like there's something very worshipful about it. I mean, I want it to be a sacrament. If that makes sense, you know, it's giving to the community, but it's also, it's like, God, you've given me so much, so out of that, I want to offer this up to you first, before I start paying all these other bills.
Right. Okay. I was just gonna add to that on paper, our budget has never worked, quite frankly, on paper. We do a budget. I think it's incredibly important, whether you make a tiny bit or a lot. That's just my opinion, that you have, a budget is a good idea. It's been hugely instrumental and helpful over the years. But in some respects, I mean, if your goals are X, Y, and Z, and you want to have this much in retirement, or you even want to have half of your college, we have one, our oldest child is graduating today from college, so at least we're not paying for three now. College grad, good day. So we still have two more, and quite frankly, on paper, it's not working. It's not gonna work. But we don't know how it will work. Let me say it that way. So there's God's economy, and God has, in the 26 years we've been married, God's way of doing things financially has blown us away time and time again in ways that we wouldn't have expected or ever dreamed of. In our little steps of faithfulness.
I was remembering the conversation Tom was talking about, that your trip to Europe. Would you mind talking about your trip to Europe?
Well,
not at all.
So,
a year ago today.
So, I mean, like Lori says, we were living really according to a tight budget when we were raising our children. We did not do the Disneyland thing. When our kids became teenagers, I wanted to expose each of them to life in a developing country, just so they would appreciate how much they had. But when we did celebrate our 25th wedding anniversary last year, I wanted to do something special, you know. And we had a son living in Europe, so we thought we'd go over there and visit him. And you can tell.
Okay. Well, I just told my nephew, we think we're going to go visit Ben. It's our 25th. And we're just going to go for it and do it. And he emails back and says, "I'd like to buy your airline tickets." And I was like, "Whoa. I guess we should go to Europe." I mean, we were kind of toying with it. It's like, whoa, that's amazing. So then we're thinking a little bit more seriously, but we're not really good planners. So 2 weeks later, we still hadn't booked anything. He's, "Okay, let me know when you're ready to book." Oh, okay, yeah. We still hadn't done it. And then I get another text from him, and he says, "What do you think about Abby and Nathan going, our other two kids?" It's like, well, what's he thinking? We can't, and that's crazy. And then immediately he says, "I'd like to treat you, our family of five, to a European vacation." And it's like, oh my goodness. It's a gift. We've never done anything like that as a family. We haven't even gone to Disneyland. We've gone to, you know, hikes in the woods and that kind of thing. So this was so over and above something we had ever even thought of. And quite frankly, my nephew's able to do this, and it's what he desired to do. He's been a big part of our lives over the years. So last year, a year ago today, we left for a four-country trip in Europe as a family, all together, with my nephew joining us, which even made it all that much more special. And it was an incredible blessing that, you know, you say it's hard to receive sometimes. And, I mean, how do you say thank you for that? It was just overwhelming, but we were so appreciative and thankful to this day. Yeah, it's a gift to receive as well. I grew up with this German work ethic, and you only spend what you earn, and you know, and that kind of thing that was drilled in. So the gift of receiving is one to remember as well, because it was a big blessing, quite honestly. It was a blessing to my nephew to be able to do that for us, because he knew that we would never do that. So, yeah.
One of the things about this story when we talked about it over dinner that really impressed me was just the fact that you can't outgive God. And Tom, I know you were talking, why don't you share about your car that you recently purchased? And,
well,
that car.
So, yeah, you know, transportation, this is where it gets real, okay? So, you know, I work downtown, I need to get to the metro, but we really couldn't afford another car, so for a couple years there, I took the bus, and which is really an experience in itself, you know, when you're like standing out there and all kinds of weather, you know, things happen, and but you feel like you're kind of operating out of a point of weakness as far as like our society, you know, just like total. But then, so I take the bus to the metro, but then after a while, it just like wasn't working out, and I needed a new car, and one of our college kids saved, and he got himself an old car. So anyway, I decided to get this old car, and because our car that had over, I don't know, 200,000 miles was breaking down. But anyway, I think the idea is that, like, just decided on, I basically got a rust bucket that would get me to the metro. But it was also like, well, we've got some other commitments, you know. And frankly, I have to say that we, you know, I mean, Lori was the first, when she was like over 50, she bought her first car outright.
New car. Not outright, we have car vehicles.
Thank you. But just to say that sometimes it's okay to have a rust bucket.
Yeah.
Because you feel like, well, okay, I don't have that car payment, so that frees me up to maybe me be more generous in some other areas. And that's not like the worst thing, so.
Some of my colleagues were in the parking lot at work and were comparing Lexus models. And I walked over to my rust bucket, 13-year-old Cloudy is her name, Saturn View. And I sort of said over my shoulder, I said, you know what the best kind of car is? A paid off car.
That's come up in my conversations with all of you is how relationships are important, investing in relationships, being generous in relationships. And that's part of what being generous here at Cedar Ridge is about. It's about my relationships with all of you. It's about being generous so that you all can be in a discipleship group that's with a leader who's been trained by Bill Duncan, or you can come here on Sunday morning and hear a message from Matthew. It's really, when we give, the most important giving is really, it's relational giving.
Yeah, generosity is so much also about time. I mean, if I were to think about just like this journey of generosity and all of the challenges that it presents, I would say, okay, time is like right up here with money. You know, like even in our culture, I mean, just being like extravagant with your time, like maybe stopping to talk to a street person, you know, and to listen to their story. And maybe there's some mental issues there, maybe there's some addictive issues. But to stop and to realize that isn't that what God does for us? You know, God meets us where we're at. But just thinking about that in terms of the block that we live on, our neighborhood, our neighbors, you know, do we open our homes to other people? Do we stop to have a conversation with one of our neighbors? Or do we just like, you know, drive up into the driveway and then, you know, kind of ignore our neighbors? But I think that's kind of like, that's all part of the package.
Yeah, absolutely. Do we make coffee on Sunday mornings? For our, give our time in doing that? Let's turn to this last verse. I think it's such a challenging passage for me. But speaking of Jesus, it says, while he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, why the waste of this perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. And they rebuked her harshly. Leave her alone, said Jesus. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. Now, talk about a passage that points out how complex generosity is. Here's Jesus allowing someone to pour a perfume over him that is worth a year's worth of wages. I mean, that's
$50,000 in modern terms.
Okay, all right.
$50,000 perfume bag.
Now, on one hand, we can say, well, Jesus has lavished us with far, far more than a year's worth of wages of perfume. He's, you know, all the world around us, the material things we have, the relationships we have, he's lavished us. But it also points out how we can't judge one another. We can't say, I can't believe your nephew gave that trip to you. Why didn't he give the money to, he's out in, where's he live in the Bay Area?
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, there's plenty of poor people out there. Why didn't he give the money to them? I mean, it's really about your relationship with Jesus and what he's instructing you to do. I think this gets to Todd's point of how sometimes it's hard to receive. Jesus received. But there's so many things that go in from our background and our journey that play into our views of generosity.
Yeah, you know, I just think the question of how do we live, you know, and how do we, I mean, we've been given this treasure, you know, and it's spiritual, and then, you know, it spills over into provision in our lives, even when things aren't going well. And just thinking about, like, I mean, I just look around this room and I just think of the different causes some of you are involved in that you've committed to, you know, for the poor, for the oppressed, or for people with disabilities. I just think of people in our small group, how you spend your vacations. But just thinking about, how we really give of ourselves. And I think particularly, you know, in a gospel kind of way for the least of these and for those who are oppressed, I don't know if Meredith is here today, but Meredith McCain spent the time to listen to her neighbor from the Congo talk about what was happening in her country where millions of people were dying. And Meredith decided to get personally involved in that. And she was generous with her time and has been. And then she drew me into it. And it's really, really changed the course of my life in some ways also. But I think just like being open to, like, God, what are you really calling me to in the short life that I can make the best of it in your strength?
I would also, you know, talking about the origins of generosity and the origins of giving, I have seen my own family torn apart over money. I come from a very wealthy family that lost all of its money by the time I was born into it, and my aunts and my mother and uncles fought tooth and nail over every piece of wealth that was left over from the Great Dynasty. And it was the ugliest lesson, negative lesson, in how not to deal with relationships and money. There are a lot of bad things that come out of the desire to have money or hoard money or when money becomes the end in and of itself. There's my warning to everybody here. Give generously, let the energy flow through you. It's not yours, it's like your creativity, it's God's. You're just borrowing it.
Yeah, I pray that God would lead you in this journey and be sensitive to how the Spirit would speak in that. We've talked about some specifics, but every situation is unique, and I've had somebody ask me once, they're kind of grilling me, somebody not in the church, they were Christian, but, you know, just has a different view on money, and and said, he was drilling me on it, on this giving thing. And he said, well, like, if your child needed this or that, and you didn't have any, would you give to the, still give to the church, or would you give to your family? And I said, I believe there are times when the loving thing to do is perhaps to give to your family. And maybe, that's a spirit-led thing. I mean, and maybe it would be one of those times in your lives where you receive from the community instead of giving, giving, giving like you always have. So there's no hard and fast rules, you know, that are not flexible. I think as a rule, we give off the top, but that's not to say that I wouldn't change or allow room to receive. So there's certainly room to grow on both ends. Pray for leading in that.
Yeah, I think we have a few minutes left. Does anyone have any questions for this group of folks, or any comments that you want to make?
Never have, actually. Have I ever been tempted to buy a lottery ticket? Absolutely. I just haven't done that.
A lottery is a tax for the mathematically handicapped.
Gambling's advice.
That said, if an office pool is getting together or a group of friends are doing it, yes, I'll chip in, but that's more about the relationship and the conversations about what we'll do when we all own yachts and buy islands.
Any other pertinent questions over there?
I think it's fascinating. When I stared at my dollar bill at the beginning, I was just fascinated by how deep it is, how you think about money. For me, at least goes back to my family, my parents, my father, my life. It's just so.
Yes. I think that just probably not everyone heard that. We didn't set this up for mics, but if I can somewhat, I think you're saying your daughter thinks it's just a piece of paper to color on, and you know, so you're explaining about the meaning of money, and that's challenged you to think, why do you put all this value in this paper? Is that kind of what you're getting at? Okay. So having to define it challenges you about what it means. When Todd mentioned that he wanted to put his money out and say, you know, if you feel the need to take, and you know, I just laughed because it was so Todd. But I think it was mentioned that in some cultures that's just a normal part of a Sunday service. You know, there's a place to give, and then there's a place we need to take. But just giving even more credence to Todd's idea, I was reading in a book that someone mentioned that maybe you should get your weekly check in dollar bills or your monthly check and just spread it all out over the living room floor. And then kind of, for some of us, that would take up more space than for others, but kind of corner off 10%, see what that looks like in relationship to all the rest. And I mean, it is funny, I think, because I use plastic all the time. I will say I do pay, I don't carry a credit card debt because my mother taught me to be frugal. But I use it just for convenience. And I think sometimes when you do that, you don't have the same sense that you do when you're pulling bills out of your pocket. It just seems to be something kind of intangible. So sometimes using cash is a way to get more connected with the money.
But don't load your pants down with them.
Yeah, right. Don't walk around D.C. with,
What we're sort of scratching the surface at there is that, there's also a cultural element here. I remember when I first started coming to Cedar Ridge, I went up to get a bagel. I put a $20 bill in the, because I only got a $20 bill, a $20 bill in the bagel thing and started making change. And somebody behind me goes, "It's just laughing." I was like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, I only had a $20 bill and I just needed to make change. He's like, "Are you going to get a bagel next week? You keep track of that. Like, that's between you and God. Figure it out." And it was like this sudden, like, wait, that's so weird. I don't have to make change for a bagel. I don't even, like, anyone else feel a little trepidation as to what the appropriate amount of giving for a bagel at church is?
Pretty much 20.
Yeah, it's like, all right, so you bought it at Dunkin' Donuts for $3, then there was shipping and there was handling that involved.
And, 25.
Okay, it's a, what is the right amount? Who knows, right?
Okay, so maybe Todd isn't as generous as we thought. Sorry, Todd.
It's, you got it. There's a very Western mindset that has you measure everything and its weight and its cost and its value and its expense. And then there's the realm of God where you have a conversation that goes on for hours and you laugh and you drink a good glass of wine and that person may not be there tomorrow or you may not have that moment back ever again. And how much would you get? Prayer walk stop 14, my feet are soaking wet because I went out there this morning, is the lilies of the valley and the birds of the air passage. And it's the closest one down here in the field. It's wet out there. It's totally worth doing this morning. It's, the relationships, the experiences, they're what matter.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, that's really good. Yeah, that's a good point, and I thought about talking about that a little bit earlier, and I'm glad you brought that up. For us personally, again, this is individually, and everybody has to make up their own deal, their own budgets. But one way we chose to not live out of fear, and I'm not telling everybody that they should do this. We didn't have life insurance or health insurance for a time. We had three kids, family of five, no health insurance. And Tom was unemployed. And even today, we don't have like a big life insurance. We have whatever the employer gives, we don't have life insurance. I'm not saying that you shouldn't. We did for a time, we had a little term policy for a while. We kind of let it expire. So we don't have the maximum in insurances. That's just one way that, car insurance, we don't do the maximum. We drive old cars and have them in. So that's just one angle, and the fear is we're not highly insured.
I just have to add this. You'll appreciate this, those of you who have been around here for a while, but I took a couple trips to Sierra Leone, on behalf of Cedar Ridge several years ago. And I came back and I was talking to a financial advisor at Cedar Ridge because I had three kids and I felt like I did need to get life insurance. And he told me I was uninsurable because I had gone to like a war zone, So it's like, oh well. But then it's like, You know, so I never did go to take out the life insurance, but it's such a good question, and I think it really kind of brings up the whole matter of faith. And that's what I, you know, kind of liked around the conversation that we had, that, because, I mean, it's easy to say, oh, okay, well, you just kind of commit to your church, you commit to these other financial charities that you do, but I think, you know, to Todd's point, like, if we're not really feeling uncomfortable, then there's sort of, if we're not like really stretching and exercising faith, then we don't really get to experience that side of God's generous nature and taking care of us, you know, at a really deep level. It's like, well, who's really in control here, you know? And,
hey, Bill, we need to wrap up, so Bill, your comment?
I just want to point out, I think it's one of the importance of an example, and, you know, my parents, when I was five, they felt called to go to another place halfway across the country where they had no jobs, and they had four young kids, and everybody told them it was crazy, it was irresponsible to us as kids, and we went, you know, stuff in the back truck, we lived in a old shack with no indoor plumbing and all that sort of stuff. We didn't have any of the outfit, but that was the best educational we did in the last year of our lives, and we were talking about it for years and years after that, because showing your family, your others, your faith and trusting in God rather than in the material things is just so tremendous. So don't worry about what you're providing all those things. Worry about what you're showing them what it's like to live with God.
And I just wanted to say, I think that really came through in what Matthew shared about his own life, what he and Lisa have experienced, and also what Brian and Sue have experienced. So I think we all should be really grateful that our leaders are modeling this.
Yeah, the other thing I would say about the fear is that, and the modeling it, is there, when you're unemployed, you have a conversation with your spouse and you go, what's going to happen if we don't get this figured out in 6 months? And you do the math, you plot it down, and you go, well, we're broke. You know, we're not gonna be able to make the house payment, we're gonna have to, all these other things cascade and fall apart, you know? And at that exact moment, where it should be the most terrifying, my lovely, darling, amazing wife was like, oh, being broke? That's not a problem, we know how to do that. That's not, we did that when we were young, that's easy. You know, I would tell you, I'm way more afraid of what happens with people when they have gifts and money and generosity. That scares me way more than when you're broke. When you're broke, it's easy, relationships, friends, you make pasta because that's what you can afford, you know? Garlic and pat of butter.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's give these guys a round of applause. And we'll just, before Kevin comes up, we'll just have a word of prayer here. God, thank you so much for the relationships we have with one another. I just value Todd and Lori and Tom and the conversations that we've had around this topic.